Okay, Dira Hayamim, Beis Perik Dal Vayas, Mizbach Nechoshes, Eshrim Amo, Orkoivi Eshrim Amo, Rachboivi Eser Amois Koimoso. The Mizbech here is called the Mizbach Nechoshes. Shlomo made the Mizbech Nechoshes 20 Amos in length, 20 Amos in width, and 10 Amos in height. Now, here is the first time in all the various Kalim where we have a real change in the structure of the utensil. If you look at the dimensions of the Mizbeach in the Torah says, I want to make sure I'm saying everything correctly, V'yosiso es ha-Mizbeach atzei shitim. Okay, the Mizbeach in Torah is made from atzei shitim. Chomesh amois orkoi v'chomesh amois Roichav Ravua Yiha Mizbech Vishalosh Amos Koimoso. So the Torah is very clear. Mizbech Hanukhoishes. The Mizbech that was in the Azara, upon which all of the Kabbalos were offered. The Mizbech Hazav was one Amma by one Amma, which was used for the Ketores. That did not change. The same dimensions that were used for the Mizbech the Ketores by Moshe Rabbeinu was used in the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, but in the Mizbech HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu, the dimensions were changed. It was 5 amos in height, and sorry, in length, 5 amos in the middle, it was 5 by 5, and 3 amos in height. Now the truth is, when it says it was 3 amos tall, there's a very big dispute in the Gemara. When it means it was 3 amos tall, does that mean the upper portion was 3 amos, or does it mean... Or does it mean that in total it was 3 amos? According to one opinion, the Gemara, the Mizbech was actually 10 amos in height, which is very big enough to mean it, because that would mean the ramp, getting up to the top of the Mizbech, is an enormous, enormous ramp to go and climb to a height of 20 feet. You need an enormous ramp. The height of the Mizbech is only going to be 3 amos. The ramp does not need to be that tall, does not need to be inclined, doesn't have to be such a large ramp. So there are two opinions of the Gemara, because there really appears to be a contradiction. There are two opinions of the Gemara, was it 10 amos, or was it 3 amos? If you do learn that it was 10 amos, when it says here that it was 3 amos in the pasuk, it means the upper portion. The portion above the soivev, but there wasn't really a soivev in the Mizbech and the Mishkan, but you have to look at the picture. We don't have the pictures now, but the upper portion was the picture on the next page, right? That last upper section on top of the karkoiv would be 3 amos in height. Okay, but the point I want to make is here is that, but the dimensions were altered, and this is something that is very interesting. Everything, of course, was up in Ruach HaKodesh. We know that Shlomo HaMelech, he added 10 shulchanos. There was the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in addition, there were 10 replicas. There was the Ner of Moshe Rabbeinu. In addition, there were 10 replicas. There were the Kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu on top of the Aron, and then Shlomo made an additional 2 Kruvim. And those were not replicas. Those were different, because those were massive. Those were giant size. And those were made from wood. It was covered with gold. And they were different. The way they were positioned was different. But nevertheless, he went and he did not take away from what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He just added to what Moshe did. We're going to learn soon that he also made an additional 10 Kiyoros. Moshe had his Kiyor, the Kiyor Moshe Rabbeinu was present in the Bayis Sheni, and Shlomo added another 10 kiyoros. We have basic now. The structure did change. Okay, the structure in the Mishkan was 10 amos by 10 amos for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Here in the Bayis Rishon, it now became 20 by 20, and the Kodesh went from being 20 by 10 to 40 by 20. Okay, so there was a change in the structure. Shlomo also did add an additional room. He added the ulam, which did not exist in the Mishkan. But here, I think, is the first time we have something that's really extremely drastic, very, very extreme, where he's not replacing something. He's taking the existing utensil, and he's changing the dimensions to a size of 20 by 20, a height of 10, where the Torah says it's 5 by 5 and a height of 3.
Could the Mishkan have
accommodated it? Absolutely, yes. It could have accommodated. The size of the Mishkan was 50 by 100, and it could have accommodated it, yes.
Would the Ezra's
Yisrael in the Mishkan? Who knows?
Ezra's Yisrael is just a certain part. It's not that that
in the Mishkan.
Ezra's Yisrael is just a dead. They designated a certain area until where Yisraelim could go. Technically speaking, the Yisraelim can really go to Chumah Midrabanan. The Yisraelim are allowed to go walk in the entire Azara, and the proof is that on Pesach, or Pesach, they did. They took up the whole day. Everyone came all the way in. So that was just a precaution. That was just an extra layer of kedusha they gave. There wasn't anything real. But this here, for the first time, is something very significant. Obviously, this was an alpi ruach hakodesh. Now, Chazal, I didn't really get a chance to go into all the details. But Chazal, there's a gemara. The gemara says that the mizbech of Shlomo was 28 by 28. Because that appears to have taken place at a later point in time. At a later point in time, they realized that there were so many korbanos that needed to be burnt. There was just not enough space. So they expanded the Mizbech to a size of 28. The very bottom base was 28 by 28. And then later the Bayis Sheni was expanded to a height, to an area of 32 by 32.
Were there bummers in the...
What?
In the Midbar. Were there private bummers?
In the Midbar, l'chor not. Because the Mishkan, no. There were no private bummers. Because the Mishkan...
Had to
bring a carbon shlamim. You had to come to the Mishkan to bring a carbon shlamim. So the mizbeach. This is a very interesting idea where the mizbeach over the history of time got larger and larger. It started out 5 by 5. No one disagrees with those dimensions. Width and length is certainly 5. I could be that. I'm not sure I have any more. Not sure that you could find. Yeah, that's a good thing. Okay. The mizbeach started out 5 by 5. It then went to 20 by 20. At a later point in time, it went to 28 by 28. Then it went to 32. Right, it was all square. And the basic, all of the things, the soivev, the soid, and the chronos, they're all of them appear in one way or one shape or form in all different versions of the Mizbeach. It all starts with the Mishkan. But the size changed. And one will make, and why? Why did the size change? So the Mefarsh tells us because over time, Klal Yisrael, their numbers increased, and there were so many korbanos, and the small space top of the Mizbeach was not large enough to accommodate the activity that was taking place, so they had to make the Mizbeach expand the size of the Mizbeach. But they also explain it's not a maila, that's a chasaron, because the fire that was burning on top of the Mizbeach was not a regular fire, it was a spiritual fire. We have no clue as to what a carbon is all about. Carbon, really, in our minds, doesn't make any sense. You have to take an animal and you slaughter it, and that by slaughtering an animal you get kapara. How does all of this work? I mean, what about animal rights? How does all of this work? So we really have no clue. Okay, we have different understandings that a person he has to humble himself, and he looks at the animal as his. As himself, his proxy, and it's an experience of seeing the blood and so on. And so, okay, we have svarim that tell us, give us an idea. But after everything is said and done, obviously there's a lot more to it. And just like there's a lot more to the animal portion of the sacrifice, the burning of the evarim, the emurim on the mizbeach, it wasn't an ordinary fire. It was a spiritual type of fire. The fact that the Mizbech got bigger and bigger over time represents the concept of Niskatnu Hadoiros. When we were young... What?
More Karmachatas.
Not more Karmachatas, is that the fire became less and less spiritual, and we had to come onto the laws of nature more and more, that for the meat and the Evam to be burnt in a very small period of time, due to lots of activity, and we have no choice but to expand the surface of the Mizbech. Oh, how come? But there was 600,000 people during the time of the Mishkan. How come they were able to burn all the Evarim and the Emurim on the Mizbeach, which only had a surface of 5 by 5? The answer is because they were on a higher madrega. We should not think.
They had less of a chatos. They had less promise for Shabbos.
No, I don't think
because
it's.
You came later. You had a Beit Zara. You had one.
No, I don't think that's the issue. That's not what it said. But there were other other karbanos that were nedavos, and there were other obligations. The point is that the fire was a spiritual fire, and a lot more could be consumed, can be accomplished in a much smaller space. The rules of Teva did not apply. The further back you go to Matan Torah, the rules of nature did not apply. They applied less and less in the Beis HaMikdash. As history, time marched on, we became niskashen, niskadnu hadoros. We were not zocha to have the same intensity, the same kedusha that we used to have, and therefore the fire did not consume it like it used to. We had to come onto a fire of derech ateva, and therefore you have to have the mizbech kept on getting bigger and bigger. Like we see that in our own day and age. It used to be years ago, think about it, when we were all children, so when we learned in yeshivas, so we learned the shuls, they weren't like today. Today, every you walk into a shul today, Baruch Hashem, most of the batei kneseiot are stunning. The standards are very high. Marble floors, woodwork, everything is. You go walk into a yeshiva katana, some of the new yeshiva katanas in the community, in other communities, it's state of the art. And yet, years ago, when we grew up, it wasn't necessarily state of the art, but many people will argue and they'll tell you that there's something that was years ago that's missing today. There's something that's missing. What exactly it is, I don't know. Some will say no, it's better today. But I think everyone will agree that there is some degree of niskan others. So why is it? We didn't need it. It wasn't necessary. There was somehow these incentives and this and it wasn't necessary to have these different forms of gashmias in order to encourage to bring the kedusha, and that concept is something that you see very clearly with regard to the mizbeach. The mizbeach is the mokum of sacrifice where you come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It started out very, very small, a teeny little mizbeach 5x5, and then all of a sudden it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Goes from 5x5 to 20x20 to 28x28 to 32x32. It's not a mila, it's a chesaron. It's a chesaron that we have to make it big and grand, and in order to encourage us, to inspire us to accomplish what we should be able to accomplish with less.
I just comment, you know, in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth parak, the seventh Mishnah, they talk about the nisim that were done in the
Yeah.
Now, was that inspiration, or because the way you're saying it, Rabbi, it's like there's an inverse relationship between spirituality and what you need to do human-wise. You know, I mean, you had to make the human beings had to make the mizbeach bigger.
Yeah.
You needed more human fire, so to speak.
Right.
So there was an inverse relationship. Spirituality declined, and the need for human intervention.
That's right.
When the Rabbana was saying there were 10 nisim at the time,
right?
What was that? That was more spirituality, or less spirituality?
More. I mean, it varies. There were different periods of time in the history of Klal Yisrael, and it fluctuated. There were different. You can't generalize. Generally speaking, the further away we get from Matan Torah, the more negushim, the less spiritual, the less sensitive we are to spirituality. That's a general rule.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There seems to be a...
But there are spikes. You can't say it's an absolute rule because there are definitely periods of time in history where there are spikes of Kedusha where we go back a couple of generations. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon, he only lived 400 years ago, but the Vilna Gaon was a person that the experts tell us really belonged 1,000 years ago. So there are times in history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift, gives us a person, gives us an insight.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about. So 200. What are you saying? How many years ago?
You said 400.
I'm sorry. 250 years ago. So the Gra did not belong 200 years ago. The Gra belonged 1,000 years ago. Everyone, I call Modim. So what was he doing here? Hashem gave us a gift. So what you're saying, there are different spikes in time where there are different degrees of kedusha. Okay, let's go further. That's one point. Another important point, it says here that it was made from nechoshes. We know that it was not nechoshes. It was made from stone. Okay, that's what it says. It says that we have different sources, and certainly later in the Bayesheni, we have other sources. I don't have them in front of me. It was stone. So what does it mean over here that it was made from nechoshes? The only one that was made from nechoshes was Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was made from wood. In fact, it was made from wood, and it was covered with copper. And now when they came to the Bayis Rishon, it was replaced with a stone mizbech, 20x20 made from stone. So why is it calling it nechoshes? So the simplest reason, just as it's a reference point, that this mizbech of stone was the replacement for the mizbech of nechoshes of Moshe. There was the mizbech of Zohov, gold, which remained in the Heichel, and then there's the Mizbeach of Nechoshes, which was in the Azara, and just a term referring to a certain Mizbeach, but it was really made from stone. However, there are opinions, the very Chiddush, we learn in the rebellion of Korach. In the rebellion of Korach, they had their Ketores pants. The pants that the Machtos, that the 250 members of the followers of Korach used to offer Ketores. And when they died, when they were swallowed up in the earth and they died, so Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take those pants and use it as a covering for the Mizbeach. So there are opinions that say that there always was a requirement, even when there was a stone Mizbeach, that the surface of the Mizbeach was covered with Nechoshes. And there's a deacon to this effect in Yechezkel. I don't remember all the details. And it's true, it was made from stone, but there was some part, the surface, that was always copper, as a reminder of the machtois of the rebellion of Korach. Now, when you come and you walk on the surface of the Mizbeach, don't get any ideas. it's a constant reminder. Don't get any ideas that you're going to rebel, you're going to replace the Kohen Gadol. You have to remember, Hashem selected Aaron and his children to serve in the Mikdash forever, and it's their jurisdiction, and no one should come, and Moshe Rabbeinu as well, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the leaders, no one should get any ideas to start doing things that are, and that's why it would still be called literally the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. It was not necessarily full Nechoshes, but it was a part of the Mizbeach that was Nechoshes as a zecher for Korach v'chol Adosai. Okay, let's go further. So this is there's almost no commentary. It's very interesting. There's almost no commentary. Not even the Radak and the Ralbag. There's almost no commentary on the Mizbech over here. 20 plus here, the Mitzudah says just one little short Mitzudos. Mizbech Nechoshes, Ratzlam Mizbech Evan. Okay, so he makes it very clear that it was a Mizbech of stone. Tachas to replace Mizbech Nechoshes Osa Moshe Ba Midbar. This is the first major change in size and change in material. I don't think there's anything other Kli that was changed like this. Everything else was the same. Shlomo just added. He didn't replace. Here he's actually replacing. That is a very significant point. Now we come to the new thing. Doesn't say, what do we do with the old Mishkan? What do we do with the Krashim? What happened to the Krashim? What happened to the Yerios? What happened to the old Mishkan? So there are different opinions. Some say they had like a museum. They put it up. They actually put it up.
Would he have put the old Mizbeach and Choshes under the regular Mizbeach that they built now?
No, it doesn't say that anywhere. No, it doesn't say that.
But it says Mizbeach and Choshes.
No, no. Well, that's the point. That's what we just discussed. It's just a term. It was a replacement. It was stone.
I'm proposing a unique theory.
To say that it was buried inside the Mizbeach doesn't say that anywhere. It doesn't. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't say that.
Sounds good.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't. The Gemara. No. No one says that. In fact, the Gemara has a detailed. The Gemara has a very detailed description of how they made the Mizbeach. It was made from a mold, different layers. It doesn't say anything like this.
Embellished.
Okay, let's now go to the Yam. Now we go to Bayas Es Hayom Mutzak. Mutzak means molten. It was poured. They made a mold and they poured copper into a mold to produce Miksha Achas. It was one massive piece of Nechoshes. It was not taken, not welded together by small pieces of material like they would do today if you would make such a massive thing. Vayas Esem Yom is basically a big bathtub, if you would want to say. It was square on the bottom and round on top. The bottom, we'll see in a moment, it was a total of 5 amos. The bottom 3 amos were square, and the top 10 amos by 10 amos, and the top part was circle. It was a perfect circle. It held in total, we'll see in a few moments, 150 mikvos. A mikvah is 40 saw. I don't know if I'll be able to do the calculation. Maybe Rashi serves some calculations for us. A mikvah is 40 saw. A mikvah is the smallest amount of water which an average human being can fit in comfortably. Go into a you want to fill up, go into a box and be completely immersed in water, so you need exactly 40 saw of liquid. So this Yam Shel Shlomo contained the equivalent of 6,000 saw, which is 150 mikvos. Why the number 6,000? So the one the Roshim says corresponds to the 6,000 years that the world exists. We have a tradition. We don't even know what that means exactly. That the world will exist for 6,000 years correspond to 6,000 years, 6,000 saw, which comes out to 150 mikvos. What?
6,000 kilo.
6,000 kilo? That's a lot of water. Okay.
Because it's water weighs
how many gallons?
I don't know. Talking a lot. It's big. It's pretty big. I don't know. Now, you see that on the picture. You have the picture in front of you. This is the Yam. We're going to go through the whole thing right now. The Yam on this picture, this hand, if you have this hand out. Now, you see here on the bottom three was square. The top is round. It was supported by 12 oxen. 12 oxen. Now, this thing was not a utensil. This was a mikvah. Technically speaking, you could immerse. The Kohanim can get up there, they can go and they can immerse. There's a discussion in the Mefarshim. How could anyone possibly immerse? To immerse, you have to remove your clothing. And it's not their cheretz in the Beis HaMikdash to take off your clothing and immerse in this thing. So the answer is either they didn't. They just used this to be toivel kelim. Let's say none of the kelim became tamei. The shulchan became tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a sheretz, a dead rodent. They didn't have exterminators in those days. They didn't have anywhere. So let's say there was a sheretz or someone died. And there was tumah in the mikdash. They immersed the kelim in this yam shel shlomo. They also, if you look over here, you see there are like little holes. You see those two rows of holes sticking out. On top of the oxen, you see these little designs.
Yeah,
those are not designs. Those are faucets. Those are faucets.
They had flowers with the heads of the eagle on it.
Right. This is not such a clear illustration. I have a better illustration on the other book that shows that those different opinions of what it looked like, but they were faucets. Designer faucets. In the image of a head of an animal, of a bakar, small, the bottom we have large animals.
Right.
On the top it was little teeny animals, and out of their mouth came water when you turn on the faucet. There was some mechanism to open up, and water would come out. And that's also, it was primarily used for the Kohanim to wash their hands. Just like they wash their hands and feet from the kiyor, before they do avodah, you have to wash your hands and feet. They also use this to wash their hands and feet.
And the Kohen Gadol?
The Kohen Gadol also, anyone who wanted.
He had his own mikvah?
The Kohen Gadol, that you're referring to what it says in the Mishnah, that was the Bayis Sheni. This did not exist in the time of the Bayis Sheni. The Yam Shel Shlomo only existed in the Bayis Rishon. It was not replaced in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Why? I don't know. They never replicated it. And therefore they had another mikvah on by the one of the walls where the Yam Shel Shlomo was approximately. They built what was called a base, Parva, I think it was called Parva. The base Parva was where there was a mikvah, Lishkas base Parva, where there was a mikvah for the Kohen Gadol. It was in fact in exactly this location, in the same location, right attached to the wall, but the Yam Shel Shlomo only existed in the time of the Bayis Rishon. Furthermore, the 10 Shulchanos, only in the Bayis Rishon, the extra 10 menorot, only the Bayis Rishon, the extra 10 kiyoros, only the Bayis Rishon, the massive size kuvim, only in the Bayis Rishon. All of these embellishments were in the Bayis Rishon. They did not exist in the Bayis Sheni. Now this, yeah?
Today's daf, you're discussing the funeral for the Perechus. Oh. And they said you needed 300 Kohanim.
Guzma.
Inside.
What? They put in the Yam Shel Shlomo. At least during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Or the Bayis Sheni. So maybe the base Parva. There was also a large size mikvah.
They had a war.
It was a room. The Bayis Sheni was a chamber.
Right.
It was a chamber. So the Kohen had privacy. But the Yam Shel Shlomo, we're not aware there was any curtains surrounding the top part of the Yam Shel Shlomo. So to suggest that the Kohanim immersed in this thing itself is a little difficult because that would mean they would have to remove their clothing. And L'chora, that was not. It's not Mukhruch, they didn't remove their clothing because I'll give you two examples. Again, we have no clue to what the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash was. The Gemara tells us that when they brought the sota, the woman, the sota, into the Beis Sota, they ripped her clothing. They exposed the upper portion of her body. Now today that would be criminal. So that the Gemara only said they only took it if there was a young kohen that was not in the madrigos, but even a kohen zaken. So what? It would not be done today. It would be unheard of today.
Skila, when they did skila, they did the, for a man. He was completely naked.
That was a man, and that wasn't the
was,
and that wasn't
was on a bed.
A woman was indeed was covered. A woman indeed was covered. Okay, you can ask them, but okay, you can ask many questions.
The Gemara gives an answer for that. The Perkekuna, they would be watching it, says, but somebody who's about to die.
There's no Yetzirah.
There's no Yetzirah. But some being put to death.
But today we know it's not like that. Today in our generation, we know there's a Yetzirah, even in the worst situations, the Yetzirah. There's, I'm going to have to go into different stories and examples. But, so in the Beis HaMikdash, one thing for sure, the time of Shlomo HaMelech, this is the Bayis Rishon. We're dealing here in a different world. That we have no understanding. There was no Yetzirah. And it could very well be that there was no issue. There was no issue for the Kohanim to completely remove their clothing and go into the mikvah. And also, there's another issue. Who says you have to go to the mikvah without clothing?
You can go with your clothing.
You can go with your clothing. As long as clothing are loose. Exactly. As long as the clothing are loose, there's no issue. So, in Hanani. However, the Gemara doesn't seem to say. The Gemara is about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, they did spread sheets, privacy. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol did go into the mikvah, it says that they put up curtains.
Because it was a kahal, everyone came to look.
So why does he have to remove his clothing? Why can't he be immersed with his clothing on?
He had a change.
That's why it's a different clothing. Okay, a nechanan. Yeah. So there are different solutions. Either in nechanan they wore their clothing, or there's no yetzahara. There is no yetzar. Or who says that this is the only way? It could be there were curtains. It could be that if they actually did need this for tefillah for kohanim, they did erect clothing. They did put clothing around the mikvah.
Also, I've got to understand that the people were not standing right there. They were standing distance away.
It wasn't a large area. It's not larger.
They weren't standing.
It's not the Azara is not a very large area.
They weren't standing inside there.
They were. There was a lot of activity taking place. Okay, I'll just give you another example. The Gemara talks about that on Yom Kippur. They wanted to make for the Kohen Gadol linen, the best linen where the clothing was sheer. You can actually see through the Gemara. It's the highest form of clothing. The most expensive clothing was a certain type of linen which came from Egypt, and that linen that was used for Bigdei Kahuna was sheer. You could actually see through the clothing. So the question is, how could it possibly be that the Kohen Gadol would wear Bigdei Kahuna that you could see through? The answer is, I don't think they actually used it, but there is no Yetzirah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a different. The reason why. We don't know exactly what the times were like, what it was, but this is discussed. The simple reason that you had this kiyar was a mikvah for the kohanim to immerse, because there is no record of a mikvah in the Bayis Rishon other than this. They can't be toivel in the kiyar, obviously. You can't fit a person in the kiyar, even though Shlomo made an additional 10 kiyaros, that was for washing the hands and feet, not for immersion. Okay, so this is the Yam Shel Shlomo. We have over here these faucets, and we have here the Bakar, their 12 Bakar. Why are they 12? So I'll give you some back. Why they're 12 Bakar? So the Midrashim tells us it corresponds to the 12 Shvatim. There are 12 Shvatim, and these Bakar represent the 12 Shvatim. Why Bakar? It's a good question. Unfortunately, they struggle. Isn't this a Pesel? It's not Avodah Zarah. They made an Egel Hazav, and here they're making 12 of them. They're making 12 copper? It's a good question. I don't know. There is no satisfying answer of how you're allowed to go make the image of an animal like this, like a real animal. Yeah, the tzur, the punim. But here you have a whole body. It appears you have, like, you know, by the stock market. That's exactly what you have here. You have 12 of them. There's only one there. Here there are 12. So what's going on? I don't know the answer. What? This was. Okay. And the stock market is a real animal. Okay, and we have these faucets. These faucets were used to produce. Now, there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says that David HaMelech, he composed Tehillim. How many parakim are there in Tehillim? Well, our version is 147. That's our version, corresponding to the 147 years of the life of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov lived, how long? 147. So there's a midrash that says Yaakov 147, David composed Tehillim corresponding to the life of Yaakov. You know. However, there are other ways to break up Tehillim. In fact, the Gemara talks about this, that certain mizmarim should really be broken up. And there are other calculations, and it's very popular in Talmudic literature to mention that there are 150 parakim in Tehillim. And the Medrash, what?
The Gemara Shabbos also.
The Gemara says 150. What's 150?
The Gemara Shabbos.
Says that in Tehillim 150?
Yeah, in other words, that's one of the things.
It's pretty standard. It's very popular. So the Medrash says, I don't know where this Medrash is, why did David compose them with 150 according to that version? Because the Tehillim is the mikvah of the neshama, just like Shlomo made the Yam Shel Shlomo with 150 mikvos for the guf. Shlomo HaMelech, the ultimate mikvah, this is the ultimate mikvah. A mikvah that's 150 times the standard. Why 150? I forgot. There is a reason why the significance of 150 is. I don't remember at this moment. But Shlomo expanded one to 150. That's the ultimate tahara for the guf. David worked on tahara for the neshama by reciting the 150 mizmor which he compiled and composed. That will bring a tahara to the neshama, a direct correlation between David and Shlomo. Could we very well be? That's what Shlomo is. Shlomo is Ben David. So the order is a little bit reversed. I mean, David came first, then came Shlomo. But what it means is that there's a relationship between David and his child Shlomo, and they both are focusing on tahara. The tahara of David came out in the Tehillim, and the tahara of Shlomo came out in this massive thing, which we really don't know what it's all about, this thing called the Yam Shel Shlomo. Square on the bottom, round on top, 12 bakar, has all of these faucets, which were used, and also one other thing was used to wash the carbon oil. Before you put the meat of the carbon on top of the mizbech, you have to wash it. Where did they get water from? There was no modern plumbing in those days. So they opened up the faucets. You see these little faucets on top, Gesundheit? They opened up the faucets, and the faucets poured out water, and they cleaned the korbanos from the water from the Yam Shel Shlom before they put them on the surface of the mizbech. So the good question. Now, I've heard another question. Let me ask you a better question. How could this thing be called a mikvah? A mikvah must be mechubal karka. A mikvah must be mechubal karka. This appears to be a utensil. It's a very heavy utensil.
The building is a heavy building. It becomes a.
Is that a derais? Is that okay? It's not. But this still is a kli. It still has. It has animals. But the Gemara addresses this issue, and the Gemara says that there were pipes. It was mechubal karka through a complex series of pipes down to the shisin. What?
Is that Maim Shuav?
No, it's not, because the pipes connected it to the shisin. It connected it to the Amma. There was a spring, different bodies of water, which passed through underneath the Beis HaMikdash. There were streams of water. There was an Amma. There was a shisin. And this Yam Shel Shlomo was connected to those bodies of water, which somehow supplied it with a fresh supply, a constant fresh supply of water.
But it still had to be not a kli.
What?
It doesn't make a difference if it was connected to the shisin. If it was a kli, it's still.
It was mechubal karka. So it wasn't just sitting on the ground, it was permanently attached. Being permanently attached, mechubal karka makes it into a part of the karka itself.
The guy who in the 40s who wanted to make mikvahs in the houses?
Right, yeah, in the bathtub. So
it wasn't a bathtub. You had like a zinc.
But using modern plumbing, there's a lot of grounds to say that if you use modern plumbing, that it's a kosher mikvah.
What he had was a big.
I know. I saw the article.
With a hole in it.
I know. But you're using modern plumbing because it's all a pipe. It's all connected it's coming from.
Coming from the ground,
what's it called, the Catskills. So technically speaking, there are reservoirs, there are very strong grounds in Halacha to say that if you fill up your bathtub, it's not a joke, as long as you live in a private house and it's not coming from the roof, it's a kosher mikvah. Okay, no one's going to do that today. No one's going to play around with that today, but it was in the early 20th century. People had no choice. He was coming to help people who otherwise would not not have been the Nizr entire Samishbach. Okay, let's go further. So now with this in mind, these ideas in mind, let us read the Psukim. Vayas es hayam mutzak eser bo'ama. It was 10 amos misfasai el svasai. Diameter. The diameter was 10 amos. Ogol saviv, perfectly round. Okay, so it was mutzak, meaning it was molded as one piece of material. The copper was poured into a mold, and the upper surface had a diameter of 10. So what's going to be the circumference? The circumference is going to be 30. That would go, no, it's not. I'm off. My numbers are off. Okay, we'll come to that in one moment. V'chamesh v'amo k'maso. The height is 5 amos. The kav means a measuring rod, a string. And this it will translate as a string. Shloishim v'amo. In this instance, the circumference is 30 amos. Yosoiv oisoiv saviv shal. So here the pasuk is telling us that the ratio between the diameter and the circumference is 3:1. That's what it says. Pasuk here and Avi. Same thing you have in Sefer Melachim. It's 3:1. Is it really 3:1? What do we know? It's
3.14.
Right. So it is the ratio. I'll give you the exact numbers. Okay, let's just read the pasuk and we'll come back to this. Yes. 3.1415. In pi, that's pi. Oh, just a little look walked in. Our PhD mathematician. Okay, so let's go to Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim it says the same thing, Vikavei Shloishim. The kav shloishim bo amo yosayv oisay saviv. In Sefer Melachim, let's go to the Gra now at this moment. The Gra says they have this kamat, the same exact pasuk in Sefer Melachim. The circumference of the yam shel Shlomo was the kav shloishim bo amo yosayv oso saviv. The only difference between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayam is that in Sefer Melachim there's a krivich sif. Although we read it vikov, the same way we read it here in this pasuk base vav kuf vav, there it's spelled with an additional letter kuf vav hey, and the hey is ignored. So along come the Bali, the I think it's the Gra, and they say, what is the gematria of kuf vav? The gematria of kuf vav kav is 106. Kuf is 100 and vav is 6. What is the gematria of kuf of kavei with a hey? Is 111. When you divide 111 by 106, take 111 and divide it by 106. What do you get? You get 1.0471. That is, and now, being that we're dealing over here, it's 30, and you multiply that by 3, you get, because over here it says it was 30, it's 3.1415. So, in the Krivich Siv, there is an illusion that Chazal are very well aware that the ratio between the circumference and the diameter is 3.1415. They're aware of that. It's 3.1415 relative to a diameter of 1. And that's hidden too in the Krivich Siv. The difference in the gematria between Kav Mole with the hay, without the hay, multiplied by 3 gives us this number. So we see the Torah is very well aware, however, in Halacha, loy dok halacha, you're not mechuyev to be medaktik. So what is the percent? What percent is 0.14? It's like 2%, something like that. It's not 2%. It's, what is it? Less than 2%? There's another fascinating calculation. I don't know what it is, but we see from this in halacha, loy nitna Torah lemalachei hashareis. You don't have to be medactic to such a degree. You can be off. You're allowed to be off in mathematical calculations when it comes to measurements. For example, tefillin. Tefillin have to be perfectly square. What are the rules? How crazy do you have to go when the batimacha, when they make batim, to what degree do they have to go to be perfectly, you put under a microscope, it's not going to be perfectly square no matter what you do. The smaller numbers you go, it's not going to work. When it comes to, so the answer is, you don't have to be perfectly, there is we actually use this number. We use this number, this is the cutoff point where you don't have to be perfect, you allow some leeway. When it comes to a Sefer Torah, and there's a letter which appears to be cracked, if you go take a letter under a microscope, there's no such thing as a letter being perfect. You'll always find cracks, you'll always find separation. But that's nothing which the human eye can see. So therefore, if you stand at a Sefer Bima, and you look at the Sefer Torah, at an average distance of where the person who gets the Aliyah is standing, and to you it looks like it is connected, even though if you'll go like this, and you'll take out a magnifying glass, you'll find, you're not mechuyev to do that, and that does not have any bearing on the halacha. Esrog, when you come to buy an esrog, how do you decide if the esrog is kosher or pasul? Is a black dot or a white dot? You hold it at a distance, at an arm's length, almost an arm's length, the same distance you were to hold it when you were doing the mitzvah. When you were doing the mitzvah, you're not going like this. You never saw someone shake Baruch Atah Hashem, and they have a magnifying glass like this. You don't see that. You hold it at a distance. So why then do you find all these experts taking magnifying glass? So they'll tell you, they want to know what they're dealing with. They want to know what they're dealing with. There's a lot of truth to it. I really want to know what it is. I want to know if it's black, if it's green. Once I know what it is, then when I put it at an arm's length, I can make a proper decision. My decision is not based upon what I see. If I go a little close and I see it's a black to blue, it's a black dot, okay, I know it's a black dot. Now the question is this black dot significant? So I put it at an arm's length, and I can decide and make an halachic decision if it's kosher or it's not kosher. But if I discover when I look very closely that it's green, it's just a shade of green due to the light, so then the whole thing is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Then I look at it. Oh, it looks a little bit black. Yeah, you have to know what you're dealing with. So that's why you find many of these experts, they'll first look at the magnifying glass, but then they'll tell you that they're not passing based upon what they see the passing. They just want to get a better idea of what the issue is.
Yeah.
Ah. 150 days.
And then the next pasuk is
by Yizkor Elohim Etzlaach. Beautiful. Nice. So after 150 days comes a ma'isav of zechira. Beautiful. Wow. Beautiful. So your idea? Beautiful idea. Zechira, Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers men after 150. Beautiful idea. Beautiful.
This is a tremendous insight that people don't realize. In those days, I don't think until maybe.
Yeah, these numbers didn't exist.
You could measure 1.543.
And yet already, right, and already existed.
And already we knew that.
We knew
that. No, the world knew 1.5
exactly.
Or whatever.
Less me dloy de mizi beorais. Everything is hinted to in the Torah. Okay, let's read the psukim. Let's finish up the psukim with regard to the kiyar. So mitzvasa slasa agul stav v'chamesh v'ama kamasa v'kav shloshim v'ama yosev asasav pasuk gimel udmus bikorim tachas lois saviv. There was the image of bikorim. Bikorim means cattle. Lois saviv saviv moso surrounding it. Eser bo'ama. Now eser bo'ama means the square portion. The square portion. Nowhere does it say. By the way, nowhere does it say anywhere in here or in Malachim that the bottom was square and the top was round. This is only deduced. The Gemara in Erevin figures this out. Because since the pasuk tells us the exact number measurement, the exact all mathematical calculations we have in the measurement of how much liquid this yam shel shloma contained, and if you're going to assume that the entire thing was circular from top to bottom, 5 amas, it doesn't work. You don't have the measurement of 150 mikvos, and if the entire thing is square from top to bottom, also the calculation does Gemara Masechet Erevin. I don't know all the numbers, but it doesn't work. The only way Chazal able to figure out how it would make sense to come out with exactly 150 mikvos, 6,000 saw, is only if we make this calculation where the bottom 3 were square and the upper 2 were round, and then once we know the part was square, the top was round. Now the pesukim makes sense. Now when it says says here in Pasuk Gimel, with the Musa become tachas losav savim v'savim also eser bo'am makifim esayom ten amos. The ten amos refers to a square, not a diameter. Ten amos means on each shah we have a square of ten amos. That's where the bokar were positioned. Shnayim tudim. I made a mistake, I'll take a step back. Pasuk Gimel is not referring to the bokar on the very bottom. That's coming up in the next pasuk. It's referring to those little designs. If you look at this picture, you'll see that up top of the bokar there are these little circles. They look like, I don't know what you want to call them, cherries. They look like little cherries. Those are really pomegranates, little flowers. Those were really little animals, little bokar, small little creatures, baby buck, exactly, that stuck their head out. I have other illustrations, not here, that actually show it. They show these small little bukarium. One more time, so Gimel. Right, and those were faucets. Those were faucets, but they were faucets designed in the image of Bakar. Small, teeny little Bakar. Heads of Bakar. One more time. There were 10 on each side. There were 10 amos, a longer span of 10 amos. Shnayim turim ha-Bakar. Two rows, as you see in this image. There's a lower section and upper section. Yitzukim b'mutsakto, poured in its mold. The copper used to form these things was in the mold. They did not make little bakar and glue them and attach them like a plumber into the sockets, into the holes. It was part of the ultimate mold. Now, this entire structure was oymei pasuk dalid al shneim osar bakar. It stood on top of 12 cattle, shloish aponim safayna, three facing north, ushloish aponim yama, facing west, ushloish aponim negba south, ushloish aponim mizracha east, vehayam aleihem milamala, vechol achareim ha-baisa, all of the backs of the animal were towards the center. Baisa means the back. Back meaning the center of the animal. The ovye tefach, now we're going to the top of the yam. The yam had a thickness of tefach. The thickness of the metal of the entire portion that held the water was exactly one tefach, which is pretty thick. That's a lot of copper. Usvasoi, and the tip, the very top tip of the yam, kemase svaskois, was like in ancient times the tip of a drinking goblet. And it appears perach. It looked like a flower. It was very thin. In the ancient times, when they made cups, the very, very, even though they had thick goblets, the very top of the cup was very thin. It was easier to sip, to drink from. Perach, like a flower of shoshana, of a rose. It was designed in the image of a perach. They don't really illustrate that here in this picture to show how the top was. Keperach shoshana. Machazik, how much did this yam contain? Batim. Batim, it contained batim, a bas. A bas is three saw. And how many batim did it, and the measurement is about how much? Shloshes alofim yachil, and held 3,000 batim. 3,000 batim. Now the problem is that in Sefer Melachim it says it held 2,000 batim. How do we reconcile that? We're not going through the numbers now. Maybe we'll do that next time. Maybe. But how do we reconcile the contradiction? So the Gemara is, if you're dealing with we learn a very important halacha. When you're dealing with a solid, you can heap. If a flour or any solid, it can heap above the rim. Liquids, once you get to the very top and you pour after a small amount of surface tension, it's going to fall over. What is the amount that you can heap over a box? So the answer is a third, an additional third. If the inside can hold two, then if you heap a solid over the top, you can have a total three. So the top portion is one third of the total sum, which is half, which is an enormous amount, which basically is half of what's contained inside. An additional half of what's contained inside, you can theoretically heap over the outer surface of the box. Why is that important? That's important for the halacha. If you go to, you have a contract with a person, you want to buy a heaping measure of grain in a box, and the box is a certain size, the contractor, the provider, must give you an additional third, because additional, even half of what you contain inside, because we learned that halacha from the contradiction between what it says here in Sefer Melachim, Sefer Devar Hayamim. Here it says 3,000 batim, Shloshes alafim yachil. Yachil means to contain. It can hold. It can hold. And there it says 2,000. And the Gemara in Masechta Erevin says the answer is solids can hold 3, liquids 2. The proportion between such a utensil will be 2 to 3. Okay, so that is the Yam Shoshu. Let's just do the mitzvahs and then we'll stop. We'll do the Rashi's next time because there are a lot of calculations in Rashi. So we said there were pipes. There were pipes underneath attaching it to the either the Omo, there was a spring which went through the Mishkan, or there was some type of well deep down which connected this Yam to that. It seems not. It seems that was automatically replenished because of the source of water. Yeah.
As you watch, you
let's see the mitzudos in these psukim pasuk days and sayam ki ein gigis gedoyla suya bedmos yam. A large container like a sea, the image of the yam. A yam, I guess over here means a sea. Mutzak v'yitzika nasav lo b'koshas ha'kornos. It was made in a mold. It was not banged together by pieces. The diameter was 10. The circumference was 30. Ogul saviv b'chol saviva hoya ogul uzran v'kav shloshim ki kol mash yesh b'rach bay echad yesh b'kefo shlosha. The proportion is 3 to 1. Dudmus b'karim. What about there were faucets? The faucets was ke'ein roshe b'karim of Moach Malof nemar pikoim. There it says faucets. In Malachim, how do you say faucet in modern Hebrew? Anyone know?
Beres.
Okay, so Pekarim is another word for a faucet. And that's what it says in Malach HaMalaf. Here it says Bekarim. So we have a contradiction. The answer is there were faucets in the image of Bekarim. Ki also bebekoyim tsurois rashe bekoyim. They made in the faucets, in these openings, the image of a bakar. Tachat slo, ratzulayim. Abishulash amos hatachtoinos, shahayim rubos. These were made on the lower portion, the bottom three amos that were square. Avol shteho amos hualionos, hoyagulus, uriankum hashama, rabbisinus, on the racha, beerevi. It doesn't say the same way in the Psukim. This is only deduced through mathematics. We cannot come up with the numbers that it says, only if we say the bottom three were square and the top were round. V'zesh amar eseb rama bekifim. This that it says over here that it was tenamos. V'otzeloimar arbo hapeos, the four sides. The four sides. All of a sudden we're discussing a square. We're no longer discussing a circle. A'achas shebcholachas eser amos hayu habukadu bekifim. So there were four sides. Each one had bekarim. How many rows? Shnayim turim. Shnei shuas bekarim hikifel zelam al zed. Two different bekarim. Yitzukim. Habekarim ahem hayu nitzoykim ke'echad. They were molded. They were poured as a mold im yitzikas hayam v'lo yitzokim b'fnei atzman. They were not prepared individually and then attached.
Dechim
achakach l'molacha. What?
The halacha, if they would have been made separately, it would have been made like attaching a cleat to it. So it would be possible.
Why would a faucet coming out of the mikvah?
You have a faucet and you make it.
Yes.
And
you have a mikvah.
You attach it to me, make a hole, you attach it, and it's a kabel. It's a cleat that's been
cut. Is it? Do we really say that? I don't know. Okay.
It's closed, hold water.
Okay, so then you have to make it in a way that it's not holding water. You have to cut off the flow from before that comes into the course. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Interesting point. From copper, repeating like in the picture shows how the backs of all the bakar were towards each other. The ovyav, shulyav, the bottom of the yam and the walls, udufanoisa, was on tefach thick. Usvasoi sifas hayam mimal hoya masa dak umerudot kemasa sifas kais hametsuya beperach v'shushan. The very tip of the yam became very thin. It tapered off to a very thin edge, and it was designed with flowers and roses. Machach zig batim, it held batim. How many batim did it hold? A bas is a measurement. A bas is 3. Is 3 saw. How many batim did it hold? It held shaloshes alafim yachil. It held 3,000 batim. V'choza mufareh shalosh alafim yachil. It held 3,000 batim. Kirashi goes through more calculations, which we'll do Mirat Hashem next week.